Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, Black History Always. Black History Always is a new podcast in partnership with The Undefeated that takes a deep dive into the stories of now and tomorrow from a black aperture that will empower and inspire. Hosted by Clinton Yates, rate, review, and follow Black History Always and The Right Time wherever you get your podcasts. Also, 30 for 30 is back with Breakaway, a film about WNBA superstar and activist Maya Moore. This film explores the story of Moore, one of the best basketball players in the world, stepping away from the sport for a remarkable reason, to fight for a man she believed was wrongly imprisoned. Stream now on ESPN+. The Right Time with Bomani Jones is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. Coming up on this episode of The Right Time, we have got the next installment of our charity trivia tournament. It is Michael Smith versus me. See how that one turns out. But first, it is Felder Friday. Dominique Fosworth, he's a little too busy to kick it with us this week, so joining us live from Chicago, Illinois. Check him out at Stadium covering college football. He is also the single greatest student in the history of McClintock Middle School. I know this because he told me this once, and I will never forget that he did. Michael Felder, what's going on, man?
I'm doing all right, man. Living it up. You know what I'm saying? We just bought a house.
Oh, you are now in official grown-up territory. It wasn't the kid. It wasn't all them cleaning supplies. It's that mortgage.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, second house.
Yeah. I tell you, my dad said the first time I bought a house, which, again, not the first for you, but still, my dad told me the first time I bought a house, I guess the only time I bought a house, congratulations on joining a life of permanent indebtedness to the bank.
Yeah. And you bought a house for yourself. I now have a house with 2 women in it.
Yes.
And you know how they talk about nesting?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've lived in this house for 3 years, but we decided to buy it so that we didn't have to move. And literally, we should change this appliance. And what if we change these countertops? And can we do this? So
a whole new world opened up.
Completely different world. So it's going to be very exciting. But no, it's good, man. It's the right time to buy a house, right? Where it's the right time to show, the right time to buy a house. And it's right when football season is starting. So this is going to be a real fun college football season where I'm probably going to be living in a construction zone.
Dude, I'm living landlord life now, right? Like,
yeah.
I had a tenant for a few years. The tenant moved. And, you know, you got to do all kind of stuff after the tenant, you know, get out that bad boy. And I realized that while I lived in the house and I lived there for 8 years, it was brand new. So there wasn't a whole lot that needed to be done.
Yeah, but you hit that 10-plus year window.
Yeah, no, that thing ain't brand new no more, man. It's hit me up every day. Oh, Simone, this ain't working. That ain't working. And I just moved myself, man, right? So I'm just like bleeding this money. I just got one before I sat down here. Water in the sink ain't flowing strong. The water pressure low, all this. I'm like, all right, I'll send somebody out. So, like, I don't even live there. So I'm doing all this. I'll call them. They call me. They hit you. But the one part that always makes it way to New York is that bill, baby. Every single time.
You don't have it. We have a management company for our house in Charlotte.
Yeah, I thought about doing that. But, like, I've known the tenants that I've had, right?
Once we got the tenants we didn't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got to turn that over. Yeah, well, like. Yeah, once that goes to strangers, I'm going to tell you this, and this is something, like, I don't want to act like I'm out here siding with the man per se, right? But one thing I do see that happens, and this doesn't really apply to me, but you'll get where I'm coming from. Whenever people talk about, like, that eviction moratorium and all this, like, relief for rent and everything else for people, I'm like, yo, all good for you tenants. Will anyone think of the landlord? Like, not every landlord is filthy, stinking rich. Some people just try to get this done and try to come up. And they like, if I don't kick these people out, I will never get my bread. Like, I don't need to kick anybody out necessarily. I ain't have nobody miss a check on that. But man, if I was living a slightly different life, I'd be like, look, times are hard. I understand that. But the way they hard for you, they also hard for me. So what you doing to get me this money?
We don't want to lose our house in Charlotte because it's in such a, we love the neighborhood. We love our neighbors. We love where we live. Like, we hope to move back there soon. And it's literally just, We've had good renters. We had good tenants. We had everyone's good. The management company makes things so that we don't have to think about it. Like, I'm an advocate. I say get a management company. Because that way, listen, Bo, you're doing TV.
No, you're right. No. TV. You're so right.
They just texting you and you're like, I got to go on right now.
No, I'm just telling you, man. Being a landlord, wildly overrated. Like, everybody has these dreams in their minds of they're going to get some money. They're going to get all these properties. They're going to do all this stuff with it. Man,
it pays for itself.
Yeah, man, listen, right? Like, I see that on Twitter, people talk about, you know, landlord. What is your job really being a landlord? It's a lot, dog. It's a lot. Like spoken like somebody who's only rented. No disrespect. I understand how it goes. All I'm saying is, like, that life of something broke, I just call somebody else to go take care of it. I have come to like that in the last 8 years that I've spent renting.
It's funny you say that, because, and I know my dad will listen to this. Shout out to Mike Felder, my dad. He has completely broken that part of my brain where I let somebody else fix something. So I am, and I guess maybe this is, I don't know if it's generational or it's not, but the reality of it is the reason my wedding ring is made out of palladium is because it's a softer metal that you can get off if your hand's stuck in a garbage disposal. Like, I'm in. Like, I'm not calling somebody. When we were renting this house, I'm putting my hand in the toilet. I got a snake. Listen, I got all the tools that you could possibly need to do anything. I've installed a garbage disposal. I've installed garbage disposals for my friends. I'm in there. I get in there and I'm doing it. And that's because my dad, that's the way that I just, like, my dad put that in me. Mm-hmm. We had to call someone to fix our dryer vent, which, by the way, I will say this, public service announcement. Make sure you guys clean your dryer vents, check your dryer vents, vacuum out your dryer vents, fire hazard. Also, make sure that they're fire rated, because what we found out is in our building, they used flex hose instead of fire rated flex hose to run the dryer vent out through the ceiling, out through the roof, and our entire building had to get all their dryer vents redone. Mm-hmm. But I was redoing it myself, and then I was like, oh, this is the part I can't get to. So that's when you call someone. Yeah. But man, I am, as a homeowner, even as a renter, I am deep in the game of fixing stuff myself. If I was in Charlotte, I would be back at home fixing stuff myself. But we had to get a management company when the tenants that we knew, when they moved out, my wife's going to be calling people and be like listing the house and doing all this stuff. That's crazy.
See, I thought you might have become a calling person, because this is one of my favorite conversations with Michael Felder. Because for those of you who don't know, you kind of have to understand this. Some people like to fight and some people like to watch Pretty Little Liars, and some people are both. And Michael Felder is both. And sometimes they misunderstand that second part can also come with the first part. And I was on the phone with Felder one day because somebody had said something to him about what men do not do, at which point Felder on the phone with me broke out all his repair bona fides and then hit me with an all-time great line. I had to become the man of the house with my mom when I was 17, and I learned it is really overrated. Like, I speak from a certain measure of privilege, because I'm at the point now, man, I call somebody to do anything, right? Whatever it takes. I got more money than time. I will allow you. And if something is broken, I want to have somebody to blame. So, like, boom, there we go. So I thought that you might outsource some of this, and then I had to remember, no, you are Captain DIY in just about everything. Like, if you don't follow Felder on Instagram, this man out here making all the homemade vittles from scratch don't even feel like the right term to use.
Yeah, no, we recorded this on Thursday, which Wednesday is Pizza Wednesday.
Yes.
Homemade crust, homemade sauce. We're making pizzas. We had a Hatch chili pie last night. It was delicious. I absolutely love it. And I tell you, the only thing that I outsource is the one thing. There's two things that I hate in terms of DIY. I hate plumbing, and I absolutely hate mowing the lawn. So I do pay someone to mow the lawn. Absolutely. I mowed the lawn from when I, how long did you mow the lawn when you were a kid?
I mowed the lawn from when I was 12 or 13 to 17.
You got to double digits before you started mowing the lawn.
Yeah. So we moved to Houston when I was 7, right?
Yeah.
And the one thing about Houston in the late 80s was you could get the lawn mowed for really good prices.
Right.
Right. Like, my parents had somebody mowing the lawn for $20 a week. So they put me on the lawn mowing part of it. Honestly, just when it got to let's get some toughness in this boy, you know, like he's the youngest, just a touch spoiled. Let's show this boy the value of hard work. And so then it got to the lawn. Then we got there. Also, I had terrible allergies. That was the other part.
Oh, man, I hate you.
I'm just saying.
Because two things. One, I started mowing the lawn when I was eight.
Oh, wow.
8 years old mowing the lawn. And my dad would do like the weed whacking and the edging because he didn't want that to be messed up. But you can mow the lawn. Just go in a square, go up and down. You can do it. I mowed the lawn when I was 8 to 28. And once I got 28, I said, I can afford to have someone do this because I hate it. Because I got a little brother. And my little brother, he's allergic to grass.
Oh, here we go.
So they didn't mitigate the indoor-outdoor chores.
He just got out of that one.
He just got out of that one completely. So every week, we used to alternate, right? Dishes or trash. And I had to alternate dishes or trash because I don't know if you grew up in a house like I grew up, but we didn't use a dishwasher. My mom said, I got two dishwashers right here, you. So dishes or trash. And I'll never forget the panic of my dad coming into my room. What, he could have taken the trash out himself, of course. But coming into my room at like 6:30 in the morning, hey, it's trash day and you haven't taken the trash out. Oh God. I got to take the trash out. So dishes or trash. But then I also had the additional chore of doing, it started with just mowing the lawn, graduated from mowing and blowing to mowing, edging, blowing, mowing, edging, weed whacking, blowing, in addition to dishes or trash. So my brother never had the extra chore of outside. So I hated it. I used to come home from college. I'm beat down. I'm playing college football. I'm tired. You need to get out there and mow that lawn. What? You could have mowed the lawn any day this week. You waiting for me to come home?
Yes, the answer is yes.
I'm mowing the lawn. That's the one thing I outsource. And plumbing, I can't square myself with outsourcing it simply because I know how to do it, which is, for those of you that don't know, have no idea who I am, I interned in college. I was an intern for a construction company, Pulte Homes. And so I learned a lot of stuff. Oh, my wife and kid were out of town this last weekend. They went to go visit her family. And I spent the week, I re-caulked the tub this weekend.
That's how you pass the time.
That's your boy.
Now, your wife hit an amazing jackpot. He's going to fix all this stuff and make all the food?
Yeah. All I need her to do is go to bed before me so that I have an hour of just free time.
Yeah. I do feel bad, though, for whoever the person is who ultimately winds up with your daughter, because her concept of manhood is just going to be broad in a way that the rest of us just can't really keep up with. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're looking for somebody to clean up the bar and clean up the bar and cook after it's all done. It ain't that many people that got that for you, dog.
We went to a birthday party. And they had like their version of homemade pizza, but it was like store-bought dough and store-bought sauce. And she was like, what is this?
Yo, children are not supposed to have a discerning idea of pizza. They're just supposed to be happy that it's pizza.
When I do Hand in the Dirt, the podcast that I do, they keep going, you've got a bougie kid. Like, your kid has like expensive taste.
Yes.
I'm like, it's not expensive if you make it yourself.
Right, right, right. But the problem is the tastes are expensive.
I mean, she's a sucker for rosemary. She loves rosemary. Like, she loves a rosemary honey crust pizza. And I know you see it on my wife's Instagram. Like, you see, she's in the kitchen with me, and she's doing her own deal.
Is she four now?
She's three and almost three and a half.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, she's a head taller than every other kid. So talking to one of my buddies, he said, you did it. you were always going to marry a tall woman, and you did. And now your kid is a giant.
You have to understand this. The first time I saw Michael Felder in person, this is one of my favorite, like, okay, I know exactly what time it is. Felder was in town for a wedding and my homeboy Pizzle was getting married. It was the day Pizzle was getting married.
Yeah.
And so we had gone out for bachelor activities the night before. Felder said that he was around the corner. I'm like, cool, roll through the crib. 10:30 in the morning, Michael Felder rolls up at my house with a Miller Lite bottle in a koozie.
High Life.
High Life. Correction, because I know you're very particular about these things. What, a High Life in a koozie. This is 2010, yeah. Somewhere in there. Yeah, and I'm just like, 11. Okay, you are exactly as advertised.
It takes so much energy to put on a fake facade, you know, or to put on a facade. That's kind of redundant. It takes so much energy to put on a facade. Mm-hmm. I'm just who I am. This is me.
Are you still in full-time koozie possession? Because what I didn't realize at the time is that he always has a koozie on him. And there it is right there. He's sitting in his house and he already has the koozie.
Yeah. Mount Pleasant Seafood. shout out to Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Oh, yeah. Listen, you can check this out. I've sewn this bad boy up again.
brought it back to life.
Had to. It's one of my favorites. And I'll say this. I know a lot of people do koozies as like wedding favors. Don't skimp. Don't get the foam. Get the neoprene. They're just better. That's all. All right, what do we got today, bud?
All right, I wanted to ask you this because the name, I have not talked to you since all the name, image, and likeness stuff came around. Yeah. And you played football at the University of North Carolina. You were there the same time I was there in graduate mm-hmm. school. And one thought I had here was, how do you tell the athletes now that they can't have stuff for free on Franklin Street? Like, I remember the first time I went to the barbershop and I looked on the wall and they had the sign that's, because basically UNC, was athletic department, would send a letter out to all the local businesses to explain to them that it was an NCAA violation to give people free stuff. And so people would put it up on the wall so they would no longer have to explain why it was that people couldn't get free stuff. But it's a wrap on that now, dog.
Yeah.
Like, you better let them in the club.
Yeah, all free. Absolutely side door in Avalon, nonstop. Absolutely cutting past everybody at Players, nonstop. Absolutely going to the library and getting the free well drinks, nonstop. Like, here's the thing. We already got stuff for free.
Yes.
It already was happening. The interesting element of this is going to be, I think the college deals are interesting. Obviously, what we're seeing with Derek King and Derek King making it work for Miami with the, like, and you and Spencer already talked about this, but so I don't want to belabor that point, but like the whole team deal right. with what is it? College hunks hauling junk.
Right.
Like, that's great. But I think the other part that we're going to see, these local deals, these hometown deals, like we're seeing with Quint Ewers and a couple of these other guys. I mean, I want to know how you feel, because it feels like Texas is losing twice.
Because the law is so stupid that it's just.
The law is stupid. They not only do they lose out on his senior season because he can't make money. They lose out on him as a player
because
he's already going to Ohio State. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it is. For the state of Texas, what I can't understand about Texas football, just generally speaking, and it's been a constant condition of Texas football really since 1970. Mm-hmm. They don't really want to win. Like, in a way, like Oklahoma, there's only one explanation for why it is that Oklahoma is so good at football, because they have no natural advantage whatsoever that would contribute to them being good at football. They want to. That's all it comes down to is they want to. Like, they're close enough to other places. They're not like Nebraska, which really wants it, but they got all the natural disadvantages, right? Oklahoma just want to be good at football. Texas, especially in the last year and change, has done so much that just demonstrates, now we don't really want to be good at football. Like, we could be good at football, but we don't really want to be good at football. And it's the most mind-blowing, maddening thing in the world. And so, like, with the name, image, and likeness stuff, as a state, you need to be doing whatever it is to make it as easy as possible for these dudes to get this bread, right? Like, that should be the state of affairs, and I think it ultimately will be for all the states because of the forces of competition. But for whatever reason, the state of Texas and, like, the University of Texas, hell, even Texas A&M to a degree, they don't really want it that bad.
It's very, we want to be in the orbit.
Yes.
We don't have to be the sun, but we want to be in the orbit.
Right.
And it's frustrating because, in theory, like, I think about it in terms of other schools, right? Whether it's TCU or Oklahoma State or whoever it is, what they would do if they had that power.
Right.
They'd be like, oh, yeah, we'll never lose again.
Look, if the University of Houston had access to any of that stuff, I'm telling you now, they would be Alabama, basically. No program wants it badder and has been willing to do more things strategically and financially than the University of Houston has relative to size and everything else. Texas, they just kind of like, yeah, but we're Texas. That's all that matters.
I think that Texas, I think Virginia, I think UNC, I think Michigan, I think UCLA even, all live in this same world of, like, I don't know if it's straddling the fence of, like, no, we are a real college.
Mm-hmm.
We're really a college.
Yes.
And, oh, by the way, whether it's, if you talk about Texas or Michigan, we're a football factory. Or UNC or UCLA, no, we're a basketball factory.
Miami lives on this line, too.
Yes. But Miami, because, well, my, you know what, Miami reminds me of the, they remind me of the person in Vegas who only has two girls and you probably need three girls to try to get in the club. And so they, because, and when I mean the club, I mean academically.
Yes.
Because Miami is so scarred mentally from being viewed as a football school. The nation knows them as a football school. And they want to be viewed in the world, in the realm of academics. And unless you're in that world, that's not the way that you view them.
Right.
So that's why they're like, why can't we get in the club? We're doing this and we're doing that. And we bring a bunch of kids from New York and New Jersey, and they come and go to school here when they don't get into the Ivy Leagues. We're their second choice. They keep knocking on the door, and whatever proposed gatekeepers don't let them in. It's a good school. It's a really good school.
And for what it's worth, those guys they bring in that are so Florida, it ain't the easiest place to qualify for to play football. Like, the doors are not just wide open to whoever wants to go there. You know, like, you know, back when players had to be students at a different point in time, they really were. Like, when you listen to those Miami guys talk, go check what they sounded like when they got there and then check what they sounded like when they left, right? Like, they like they really did go to school and all that stuff. They are willing to sacrifice what should be an unbeatable football program because it just they just didn't like how it made them feel.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reality. And I think about it. And to relate it back to NIL, and obviously Quinn Ewers leaving, skipping his senior year to go to Ohio State, somebody asked me, do you think this is going to become a trend? And I was like, hey, man, let me tell you something. Most kids that play college football can't just graduate a year early.
Just wake up and be like, nah, I'm done with this.
You could have graduated a year early. I could have graduated a year early. Quinn could graduate a year early because he was set on a path
right.
where he all he needed was that you got to have four Englishes. Okay, got it. He had to take that last English. Most guys are scrambling to get through clearinghouse, worrying about getting that last credit, the science credit or the math right. credit or the foreign language credit. Like there's guys I know guys that didn't take a foreign language until their final 2 years of high school. And I'm like, hey man, you could have just taken Spanish the whole time.
Yeah.
And then like, it's just not going to be – I don't think it's going to be a trend. I think it's going to be one of those things. I know a guy played a quarterback at Notre Dame. Stanford came in to offer him, and it was he was going into his senior year. But to go to Stanford, you got to have X amount of AP credits. He didn't have them. And he was like, well, how can I get them? And I was like, I don't think that that's going to be a possibility.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you – don't worry. If you were able to make a time machine, you wouldn't have to do all this stuff to get into Stanford. They would have heard about your time machine already.
Exactly. Like, they were like, hey, what's up? Do you have this? Do you have this? And he was like, oh, no, I have never taken any of those classes. And they were like, all right, well, I guess we're done here.
Yeah, and so the one thing I think about with the guys leaving early, and I can't, like, with the level of money that we're talking about in some of these cases, I can't blame the dudes for doing it. I do, like, start feeling like an old man waxing nostalgic, where I do kind of feel like, hey, man, if you can do your senior year in high school, do it. It's really fun. Right. Like the last month and a half, 2 months of senior year of high school, like everything my parents said about, you know, you'll look back fondly on this. Yeah, they were absolutely correct. Like going to school and not really doing nothing, going to all these banquets. Right. Like all this stuff like that. I do kind of hope that a lot of these guys, because they've been professionalized so early, don't miss out on this, like those opportunities, because it's going to be the last time for a lot of them that they're around people who halfway care about them for who they are and not what they can do. Because that's the one thing about this, boy. Once you get on that clock, you on that clock.
Exactly. I think about it a lot when we saw kind of the proliferation of early enrollees. Like, we've seen teams have, like, 20 early enrollees, and, like, they're playing a spring game on what would have been their prom weekend.
Right.
Or their beach week or whatever, you know, whatever you have in your respective spot. Grad, if you're from Canada, is I think what they call it. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Morgan Campbell. But it's – that's already, I feel like, kind of dissolved for athletes where you're – or for at least for football players, where you enroll early and you just are – that's just your life now. Your life now is, hey, guess what? Once you get to school, they do not care about you anymore. Like, once you get to school, it's one thing to be wined and dined when you're in recruiting and they tell you how great you are and you're so cool. We like your haircut and your shorts are nice. And then you get there and they're like, oh, man, your clothes suck. And by the way – just so you know, your mom is going to have to pony up some big bucks because you're about to get humongous. Like, I'll never forget. I don't know if I told you this before. I thought I was going to get some good Christmas presents my freshman year. And what I got was boxers. Because my legs got so big that I had to cut the sides on them like running shorts to even fit inside of them. So, yeah, you guys are going to get new boxers because you're going to be humongous.
Because you gained like 40 pounds your freshman year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was on hard gainers. They didn't let me run. That's the other part of it. I don't think people realize, like, they have a plan for your body. A very serious plan for your body. And that plan includes how much weight you lift, how much you run, how much you eat, watching you eat. And that's the part that I don't think. And
yeah,
I,
that's the one that feels a little inhumane.
Oh, yeah. You're like one of the, like a veal in one of those little boxes. They watch you eat, how much you eat. We got, I'll never forget, our strength coach told us, he was like, hey, man, I know you guys are going out. I know you guys are having beers. Why don't you kick off the night with like something like a Guinness or a Newcastle? And then no more light beer, just drink Bud Heavy. You need the calories. And so like that, but that's a reality of the situation where they have a plan for your body. And I will say this, I think kids come in a little bit more developed than in 2003 when I got to school. They come in more developed. They've been weightlifting, especially, and you're a Texas guy. Like Texas is the king of overdeveloping.
Oh, it's a different animal, man. It's starting in seventh grade in a way that is not happening in other places.
Which is why a lot of the guys from Texas, the goal for them is technique more than it is to get bigger versus a kid from Florida who's only eating like McDonald's one time a day. That kid gets to college and gets three squares and gets real actual weightlifting. And all of a sudden we see, you know, we see Javon Curse or see like these guys just blow up and explode. And so that's another interesting element to it all. And then when you throw in NIL and listen, I love these offensive linemen deals because they're keeping these boys fed. But man, it's a whole different ball game. And I think that the interesting element, I'd love, like, you tell me about this. How are coaches going to handle this? How are coaches, because they're the most self-important. And I want to, let's go from Texas high school football, which are probably the most self-important high school football coaches on the planet.
I can't understand how they got to be like this. But yes, like I've had to ask, like, is it like this everywhere else where the high school coaches think they run the whole world?
No, it's not.
Okay. I've been trying to get the answer to that. Thank you.
Every high school coach, every state has high school coaches that want to be respected, and they do want you to contact them before you contact their 7-on-7-on coach or their parents or whatever. Every high school coach has that. They want you to come to their program. They want to feel like you acknowledge them. But there is a difference in Texas where they passed a law, a rule, where you have to contact through the coach. You have to contact through the high school. And then trickling and then moving that up to college, like how are these college coaches with the massive egos going to handle this? And not just football, but also like basketball. Like we're seeing basketball coaches, we know how self-important they are.
Yeah, now that is when Nick Saban went and talked to that coach's clinic and told them guys about the ungodly money that's being offered to Bryce Young. I was like, oh, no, not to this room. First of all, don't use the word ungodly. Like, I don't think he meant any harm when he said that because I don't get the feeling that Saban is a person that really minds the fact that these guys are getting money. But it is going to affect the power dynamic just a bit because with some of them, not all of them, right? Most of them, they're still going to be able to wield the hammer on them any way they want to and threaten them to send them back wherever they came from, you know, and all this stuff. But there is going to be a level of dude that ain't going to have all the money in the world, but more money than he's ever had before, and you ain't going to be able to tell him much. Like, I tell this story, I remember I worked an internship at a Fortune 500 company in the summer of 2002, and I remember I got my first paycheck, and it was for 1 week, and after taxes, it was $1,000. And I looked at that check, and I looked at my dad, and I said, I understand now how it is that people sell out. This was over $1,000 because I had never had a circumstance in my life where I had worked for a week and somebody had given me $1,000. All that's to say, some of these cats might just get a little bit of money, but when they get that little bit of money, it's going to feel like all the money in the world. And they ain't necessarily going to be here for some of this jibber jabber that they're going to be receiving, right? Like there's going to be a feeling out process and everybody feeling out. Some guys feeling a little bigger about themselves than they should be. Some of them really just rising up to a level of human dignity and just demanding a little more. And the coaches who absolutely do resent the idea of these players getting paid and they're not going to be able to keep it to themselves.
That last part is super critical because they are going to resent, like, where's my deal? Why didn't I get this? Or as we see brands kind of navigate this, realizing, oh, we don't have to pay the coach that much.
Yeah.
We could pay them.
Yeah.
And that's the part I think is going to be interesting at the collegiate level because, and I'm not just talking about whether it's Nike or Adidas. By the way, do you know Reebok still is doing
stuff? Still in the league?
Not, I mean, I don't think they're in the league, but Reebok is doing stuff out there.
Who knew?
They're reissuing Allen Iverson's the answers.
Okay.
They're reissuing the answers and the questions.
Okay.
So they're out there. But, like, I'm not even talking about those big brands. I'm thinking, like, local brands, right? Where whether it's Saban or Harbaugh or whoever that does that little car ad. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? What if we just it'd be cheaper and easier for us to just give this guy a charger and keep it pushing.
Yeah. No, the one of the winners in this is whoever the guy is in Columbus who no longer has to, like, come up with all these back doors for why it is that this guy is driving this automobile. Like, the one thing I do know for this new state of affairs is if you go to Ohio State, you will be riding clean.
Yes.
Cleaner than ever, because he was always going to ride clean, but cleaner than ever.
What was it? You're going to dress clean, too, if you're in Tuscaloosa. What is it, T-Town menswear?
Yes. Yes.
You could be looking good.
Yes.
You could be fresh.
You could be looking Tuscaloosa good. Like, there's no telling. They're like, yo, we'll give you 20% off if you bring your own tablecloth in for us to refashion into a suit. No, I'm right. Like I hear T-Town menswear, and I'm like, boy, all I hear is buttons. Lots and lots of buttons.
Listen, it's rayon, but it's good rayon.
Yes, yes. It's the highest quality rayon. Let me tell you who else going to come up in advertising on this NIL. There's always a guy on usually the basketball team because they don't have to wear haberdashery, right? But some dude that's got a fresh haircut and you know it. Like when Brandon Wright was at Carolina, I was at the barbershop once and he came. And he's one of them dudes that clearly invested his whole life into his waves. Like I don't understand how he didn't have a line
deep.
Straight down. Right, it was always deep. Always. And so deep. I saw him and I was just thinking, like, now – if you the dude that's known for having the dope haircut, your barber's whole game has changed. Because all you got to do now is put this dude's face on your flyers, on Instagram. Your business cards, whatever. Like, I'm the dude that cuts Brandon Wright. Like, you remember when Nas first dropped, like the rapper Nas, and he had the dopest fades in the world. Imagine
with the chip tooth.
Right, imagine if somebody could just be like, yo, this is where Nas got his fade. That's who's going to be the big winner if they thinking about this. And trust me, if anybody's thinking about a way to come up on any world phenomenon, it is a barber. Their entire 100%. Lives is figuring out how to come up.
Absolutely. That's going on IG and posted pick. That's, hey, man, I need you to do this. I'll kick you a couple $100. I need you to put this on IG.
Right.
You need to put this on. I need you to put this on IG. So this is going to be interesting. I think in terms of come up, where a society so focused and oriented on football, basketball, I think these niche sports are in such a dynamic spot because their fans already do the work just to watch.
Right.
You better believe they're going to buy anything. And the camp part of it is another great element. And I think it's not mentioned enough because we are so focused on these quote unquote money makers. But lacrosse, field hockey, golf, like an NCAA golf, I find fascinating. I don't watch it, but it's got this, its own fan base of people that follow it rabidly, and they will do anything to seek it out. Like, it's really easy to be a college football fan.
Yeah.
It's super easy. It's easy to be a fan of Ohio State or Alabama, even Oregon, USC. It's easy to be a fan of those. It's really hard to be a fan of fencing or women's soccer or field hockey. It's hard to be a fan of those things. And if you're already doing the work, those are dedicated eyeballs. And you and I have talked about this off air before, but people that are attached to a thing love that thing and they want it to succeed and they'll work hard at it.
Now that was those smaller sports. Like, that was a reason why I actually thought the Longhorn Network was going to work out better for Texas, because they were then going to be able to put all the non-revenue sports on there and then make it easy, you know, for people who are fans of that thing to then get to it. But the only concern I have with NIL is one thing we do have to remember is that we're dealing with people who don't have a whole lot of time in the first place, and we're asking them to now use their meager time to go get this money when they should be cutting a check from the real money. Like, the greatest con the NCAA has run is to act like this is a compromise. Fine, somebody else can pay them while they still pocketing every single dime.
Yep, and I hope people realize this. This is not players getting paid to play football. This is players being able to make money off their name, image, and likeness through a third-party source. This is not, they're not getting paid as employees by the school. they are still, and I mean, you know me, you know Mike Felder is not good at taxes. So every time I've talked about NIL anywhere, radio, done any television, any of it, hey man, we got to make sure we get these kids some accountants or something, because they might be 27, far removed from it in a job.
Oh, they'll come find you.
They will find you.
Check the curse of the freelancer. I don't know anybody yes. who's been a freelancer that ain't got one or two of them calls. I definitely got them calls. I definitely did. Like we ultimately went and got it taken care of. You know what I'm saying? But I have yep. I have definitely received the call, because when you're freelancing, you ain't really got the money, and these kids ain't gonna be setting aside no 30% to make sure to send in their quarterlies. Like that's not really how that's gonna wind up working. So what happens is
Bingo.
1 year. Well, it used to be April 15th. April 15th roll around, and you just kind of ain't got it, and you ain't got the time, and you don't do it. And you know what happens on April 16th? Nothing happens on April 16th. And that's the worst thing to ever happen to you, because it fools you into thinking, well, nothing is ever going to happen.
I got away with
it. Yes, I got away with it. And the next thing you know, you're like, huh, a registered letter. Wow, this must be something
garnished.
Important.
Garnish my wages.
Man, I tell you, they once went in my bank account and got my money, but this was a time where I was not wrong. Like, I just went to pay for something. This is after I'm somebody, right? Like, I'm in my right. jacket and tie, either going to or coming back from doing around the horn. And I'm having lunch at the bar at this restaurant in Raleigh. And it came back. And listen to this. So what had happened was I had paid my taxes, because lessons had been learned, right? Mm-hmm. So I had paid my taxes, all this. And I called them up. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, I hit, there's some weird message. When they come and take it, it doesn't say they took your money. They give you some weird code. And so I Googled the code and was like, okay. So I called the state and I'm like, yo, what's going on, man? And they're like, oh, okay. Well, it says here that you didn't. I'm like, I am positive that I sent you the money for this.
Did your car get declined at the bank? At the bar?
Oh, yeah. Like they.
Oh, it just shut down everything?
Yeah, it shut down. I mean, they took all my money on Friday afternoon. And that's the thing. It was on Friday afternoon when I had no solutions. And so, man, they put something in the wrong column. They're like, oh, you did pay your taxes. We just put this in the wrong column. All right, we'll get that taken care of in a couple of business days. It's Friday afternoon.
I got a whole weekend.
I got a whole weekend. And it's not like when you lose your ATM card, you can just go to the bank and get some cash to hold you down. They took my cash.
They took everything. Yeah, no, I've been there too. I openly admit I'm not good with the money. That's what my wife is. She's great at it. Financial wizard. And I just was like, that's a problem for future Felder. He'll deal with it. And future Felder tried to buy a house, and they were like, what about this and this and this and this and this? And I was like, oh, no.
Hadn't thought about it like that.
Oh, you guys look at this?
Yeah, you misunderstood the magnitude of the future. Nah, man.
But to be fair, I also, and no disrespect to any mortgage lenders that are listening to this, but y'all got to be some of the dumbest dummies. Somebody asked me if I own Bleacher Report, because I was a 1099 employee for them for a while. They were like, do you own? Oh, he owns Bleacher Report. And I was like,
you should have said yes.
If I own a Bleacher Report, do you think I'll be buying this house?
You should have said yes. You should have been like, yes. On my birth certificate, my name is Michael Report.
Yeah, Michael Report. I sit in the bleachers. You can find me on Twitter. Of course. It's all there. So give me the loan.
Oh.
No, they were like, hey, man, you still owe money on taxes from 7 years ago. And I was like, y'all still worried about that? And it's crazy, because I was like, I didn't even make any money.
Dude, I've never signed my name so many times in my life. Like because the thing about mortgage lenders is, it's very simple. There aren't that many jobs where you can make a lot of money without being very smart.
That's
and that's one of them. Like the whole real estate game, all of that is the place for not very smart people to make a pretty good living.
And it's just, as we go through this finance for the house, and it's just like, we need to see your new pay stubs. And I was like, I sent those in a week ago. You have a checkbox on the thing. They're like, well, we just want the new ones. And I was like, did you think that my pay is changing?
Yo, I actually just had one of those situations when I was trying to get this new apartment, and I needed to get a proof of employment letter. And that's an automated system for us. And the problem is, I don't remember none of my passwords because I don't go to work.
I was gonna ask you right? that. I was gonna say, how I have yet to find a seamless HR, pay stub, proof of employment system.
Yeah, no, we were seamless on everything but the proof of employment. That was the one thing that's threw somebody else. And I just couldn't remember. Like, I needed to get into my email, and I didn't know how to do it. I just eventually had to reach a point where I hit the folks up. Nah, I hit the people up that I was written from, because I had gotten the pay stub and everything else. And I didn't want to flex on them, but I was just kind of like, do I really need to give you proof of employment? Did you see my?
I'm on TV.
Like, did you see my last check? I know you did because I sent it to you. What more do you need to know? And they were like, okay, you're right. And then we got the ball rolling. Like, fire me five times, baby. I can afford this apartment. I ain't out here living beyond my means. Like, I'm not out here living with the Jeffersons.
Oh, my goodness. No, I just. So we got taken over by another bigger parent company, and they switched us from the Gmail to the Outlook.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I don't understand Outlook at all. Don't understand it. Don't know how to use it. And then to log in, you're supposed to change your password every 60 days. I'm not changing my – I don't use it. 60 days pass like that. I had to sit on the phone. I was on the phone for 25 minutes with the HR to reset my password, having to do a bunch of, like – proof of who I am on the phone. I'm like, I'm calling you.
Yo, I was trying to solve one of their problems. I got on the phone with tech support. And they were like, okay, do you mind if we share your screen? I'm like, sure, hold on 1 second. And I'm out here hitting every X I can find, right? Like, I don't know what's up. I don't know what's down. But when you get here, I was doing it like I heard the garage door come up, but I thought mama wasn't coming home for another half an hour, right? Like,
I'm just throwing the chicken.
Yeah, I'm just throwing everything away. I'm just throwing everything out of the way. Like, at least make it clear to walk through. And then she's like, oh, is this not a company computer? She's like, oh, no, we can't do that. I was like, oh.
Okay. Whew.
Didn't know where that might go.
Oh, my goodness.
Dude, I have to tell you, man, because Gabe is hitting me with the wrap it up beat. This Felder Friday has been pretty dope, man. Like,
It's so good to catch up. And obviously, I know you and I, we're going to talk during the football season. That's when we talk the most, is during the football season. Bo, for those of you that don't know, Bo will text me and be like, what is Texas doing? Why is this happening? So, yeah, this is great. It's been fun. I hope folks enjoy it. I hope any athletes that listen to it, pay your taxes. It's super important.
Do it.
You don't want to be – like, you don't want to be 28 years old with the love of your life, and then you can't get a house because of something that you did when you were 19 years old. If you take away anything from this, take away that.
And please understand, someone gave me this same talk when I was a young freelancer, and I said, yeah, I'm going to do that. Be better than me. That's all I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
This is your opportunity to be better than me. We've all been there and been like, oh, my bad. I totally misunderstood. I was like, yo, they ain't take no taxes out, so they ain't even aligned for that. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Not.
Except they know how much money
they
you
know.
Owe.
Honestly, I don't even know why they ask. Like, they know. Like, is this some kind of test? Is this some kind of trick? Even the things that you think they don't know, they'll send you a printout about.
Yeah. It's like, oh, by the way, you're on your parents' health insurance. But then when you got off your parents' health insurance, we have this new thing for you. And we're seeing a line item here that it shows that you didn't do this. And I'm like, okay, well. I mean, I got it. What am I going to do? I can't fight you. Like, I can't. Like, there's nothing. I can do nothing. You're right, and I'm wrong. Yep. They're always right, and you're always wrong.
Yes, that is it. That is Michael Felder. Check him out at In the Bleachers on Twitter. Check out the Hand of the Dirt podcast, which is actually about gardening. Also, check him out at Stadium, covering college football. One of my favorite people out here in this. It is great to have you all. Thank you, sir.
Oh, one more thing. A week from Thursday, Stadium debuting a new podcast. It's called Tape Don't Lie, the podcast. It is a show where I talk to former players, former coaches, current players about just football. No narrative. It's literally, I spent 25 minutes talking to Roddy Jones about inside zone. Like, it's only football focus. It's a thing, you know, I've been working on for a long time to try to get this off the ground, and we finally going to make it happen. So if you're interested in football, the goal is to build a smarter fan. That's what we got starting on the 12th of August.
There we go.
Welcome to the Right Time Charity Trivia Tournament. You know the rules, two contestants, they get five questions apiece and one lifeline. Don't blow it. Let's see who's competing today. The first contestant, you might already know him because his name is on the show. He also is famous for coming back from down 3-1 to male pattern baldness and getting the win somehow. The great Bomani Jones. Welcome to the show, my friend.
What's going on?
Who are you playing for today?
I am playing for the National Diaper Bank Network, providing diapers and period supplies to women in need all across the country.
That is what's up. All right, and he is going up with a brother from another. Everybody's favorite guy with a common name but uncommon talent, the pride of the boot, baby. What's up, Michael Smith?
What's going on? How y'all doing?
Good. Who you playing for today, my friend?
We're playing for Literacy Action today, committed to improving adult education and helping with adult illiteracy or English as a second language.
I thought you was playing for that hairline. It don't feed itself.
You know, I thought you'd get a kick out of this. You've never seen this in this wild before. What you think?
Yours can get wild. Yeah, ain't that something? You gotta tame your hairline.
That is quite impressive. I am quite jealous. There is no PEDs. The man don't paint it or nothing. I just watched him pull it all back. You can see a little scalp, which is not true for other people who are popular for their hairline. We'll leave it at that. Literacy is important. My daughter, we just got back from New York, and she picked up Michelle Obama's book, Becoming. She's 10, and it's my wife's book, and she just read it in 4 days. It was a combination of pride and anger. Cause it's I just can't do that. She's 10 and she is already a more efficient reader than me. So I guess I'm glad I made it in the league because it wasn't working elsewhere.
Yeah, I was afraid that was going in a different direction. Literacy is important. My daughter, I was like, oh, where are we going?
They are all capable right now.
Listen, I get that competitive anger you're talking about a little bit, man. Just look at this, reverse it and be like, you know what? That's all me. She get it from me. You know,
The problem is, I know that's not true. Don't you have one of your kids be doing that hi-ya?
Mm-hmm.
Two of them. I got 2 second degree black belts. That's definitely not me.
Oh, I only thought that one of them was on that hi-ya. I didn't realize the little man was also on the hi-ya. Ooh, you're going to have to put them hands on him.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, and listen, it's already happened a few times. I'm like, look, man, I got some Krav Maga training, too.
You be doing that other hi-ya. I thought you were just going to have to give him that hell no. You don't need no training. You don't need to.
That's some old man strength, you know. Don't hit you dead in the middle of your chest, get your attention, you know what I mean?
All right, well, we'll see if that old man strength translates to trivia knowledge. We're going to go with Bomani first, though. I don't know why. I feel like he should get the honor of going second. His name is on a tournament, right? But
you would think.
Gabe said the man got to go first, so he got to go first.
All right.
My own team don't bat first, but okay. I don't know where they do that.
Here we go. In the 2012 Winter X Games, who earned the first ever perfect score in the Super Pipe event? The first one's supposed to be easy.
So what?
Gabe, I thought you and Gabe was boys, but he is setting you up. All right, I'm gonna read it again for you.
The Summer X Games. The Summer X Games.
No, sir. No, sir. Here we go. In the 2012 Winter X Games.
Winter X Games. Okay.
Winter X Games.
Who earned the first ever perfect score in the Super Pipe event?
All right, I'm gonna say Shaun White because I don't know what else I would say.
I guess that's why it qualifies as easy, because don't nobody know anybody else.
Okay, cool.
Look, I'm relieved. I'm like, you know what? That's the only answer I would have come up with.
All right.
Oh man, that was. I feel like that was a Clinton Yates question. If we had him on the show, he's the only person I know that knows anything about extreme sports, or maybe he just dresses like it. Who knows? Moving on. Number two. In 2013, who became the first NFL tight end to surpass 15,000 career receiving yards?
I am going with Tony Gonzalez.
2'2". Nailed it. How'd you feel about that, Mike? Did you know that one? Or?
I did. I thought that was coming to me, but all right.
Okay. So now we go.
So basically, Bomani establishes this lead that I got to try to keep up with it.
In the first game, the person who went second won. I feel like going second is an advantage. You know what you got to get to. All right. The leaf in the Toronto Maple Leafs blue leaf logo has 13 veins. What is that meant to represent?
this is the second stage question? Like this isn't even supposed to be hard? I'm gonna just take a guess. Provinces and territories in the nation of Canada.
That is an impressive guess, but it's wrong. The answer is Stanley Cup wins.
Oh, wow. They haven't had one of those in so long, I never would have considered it.
So they don't have to update it then.
Yeah, that's right.
I like that, though, because it's like, I feel like the international soccer teams, they use like stars for like how many World Cups and stuff they win. I like the idea of integrating it into the logo. It's a cool idea. I also didn't realize that they went with Leafs, not Leaves.
Not the Leaves, it's the Leafs.
Is that just a Canadian thing, or they just was like, we're going Leafs?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
Yeah, I object.
All right, here we go, Bomani. In 14 seasons in the NBA, Wilt Chamberlain fouled out of how many games?
This is way too easy to be the fourth question. The answer is zero.
Ooh, you got it. Did you know that one, Michael Smith?
I did. Wow. I would not have answered it with the bravado that Bomani did, but yes, I would have gone with zero. Yes.
They just asked me about the veins in the Maple Leafs logo. Damn right, I was gonna say this with gusto.
I didn't realize that did he just not play defense? He just was like, I'm a scorer. How did he never
foul
out?
He didn't foul out. Like, right. if it got close, right, he wasn't going for it.
Right. And, you know, didn't exactly have to make up much ground. You know what I'm saying? Yes. it was in the general vicinity, he was swatting it.
I can't check him. Don't think that ever came up.
I feel like there is another Wilt Chamberlain joke to be made there, but I won't make it. Either way, Wilt Chamberlain was a monster. All right, your last question, Bomani. This will get you to four, right, I think?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you still have your lifeline as a reminder.
That I should have took on that candy.
Pretty impressive to put it in your pocket the whole round. How many college women's basketball coaches have won more than 1,000 games?
Go ahead and get that lifeline, baby, you know, to make it easier for the people playing along at home. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Keep it interested.
It's either A, 1, B, 4, C, 2, or D, 6.
I am going to go with 4.
Ah, man, that was nice of you not to get that right. Give my man a chance. You did that on purpose, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Six.
Six? Okay.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm trying to go through them in my mind, and I can't come up with.
Wow, six.
I just want everybody to know that when we did this for Shannon and Nick, I knew all the answers to those. Like, they cooked up an extra hard packet for your boy.
I mean, Pat Summitt, Gino, and that is about where my knowledge ends.
Tara just passed him. So Tara's at number one. Is it CWB and Stringer? Is she got 1,000?
Yeah, she's got to be. Well, I mean, I don't know the answer to this. I just got numbers.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah. Like, this isn't going to work out well for us.
Yeah, that's probably quit while we're ahead.
Right? All right. Now it's your turn, Mr. Smith. Are you ready?
I'm kind of excited because if I'm judging, knowing Gabe, knowing the producers, it's like if Bomani's was super hard, they might make mine like nothing but layups, nothing but like clear path joints.
I feel like they want to get your confidence up on this first one. Who All made right. the immaculate reception for the Steelers in a 1973 playoff win over the Chargers?
Should I phone a friend?
No.
Wait, that's a trick question. That was a trick question just now. That was a trick question. Do I get a bonus for identifying that it wasn't the Chargers, it was the Raiders? That was obviously Franco Harris.
Oh, my bad. That is, we talked about the, your plan for literacy action. This is illiteracy in action right now. It clearly says Raiders on my sheet, and I said Chargers for some reason. My apologies, I can't read.
No, you good, but that should be like a bonus. That should be some kind of extra credit there for recognizing that on the spot, having the presence of mind.
It's a negative point for me, but you don't get bonus for that.
All right, Franco Harris, yes.
Well done, my friend.
Al Davis says it was still illegal.
Which MLB team features a silhouette of its city's skyline in the logo?
White Sox.
Sorry, sir.
No, that's not it.
The correct answer is the Mets.
You know what I'm thinking about? I
don't,
that.
Don't nobody care what you was thinking about, Michael Smith?
that old joint was fire, right? You remember the, sure, remember the one side, the dude? No? Okay, all right.
Oh, yeah, that. I don't know what that got to do with the skyline, but whatever. Yeah. Whatever. We getting back in it. We getting all back right, in it. Let's go.
All right, let's go. Let's all go. Right.
Why not 2000? In 2005, the NHL changed the color of the lines and letters in their Shield logo to white. What color were the lines and letters in the NHL Shield logo from 1946 to 2005?
Can you repeat the question?
All right, I will make it much clearer. So, the logo from 1946 to 2005 for the NHL used a particular color for the letters and lines. At that point, they changed it to white. So what was that color from 46 to 2005?
Man, what a tough question, man.
The really letters hard. And lines of the NHL logo.
So, trying to decide whether to take a guess or, man, it feels too early to use that lifeline.
Yeah, this is the third question. It is rated as medium, according to my spreadsheet.
Let's go red.
Sorry, sir. The answer is orange.
You knew that, buddy?
I didn't know they changed it from orange.
That's right. It was orange and black, right?
Every other league uses red, white, and blue, except they got all that Canada, so they can't, you know what I'm saying? They can't pander.
Yeah. Yeah, when you say orange, it comes to mind, orange and black. Yeah, okay.
Boy, looks like I can't do no worse than Ty.
All right. I blew that White Sox one.
You sure did.
At bat just came to mind. All right, let's go.
Well, it seems like we are headed for a tiebreaker question because, I mean, you got to get one of these two with the lifeline.
We got to get two of these two.
Yeah, Monty got three, didn't he?
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Jeez, you got to nail both of these. All right, let's see. Hopefully they are in your wheelhouse. I think they might be. Which NFL running back holds the record for most regular season 100-yard rushing games?
Most regular season 100-yard rushing games.
Oh, this is easy. Ooh. This is easy.
Is it easy?
Yeah, it's easy.
I'm generally not very good at trivia, but I try to answer before I look at the answer, and I do know this one, so I feel good about myself.
It feels too obvious. Am I overthinking it? I could be overthinking this one.
And I can't give you no hints, brother.
I know.
It might be really hard.
You know what? I'm going to say this. All right, this is strategy here. I think I know it, but I can't afford to blow it. So let me go ahead and use that lifeline now, because it's just on the off chance that I am about to screw this up again. Go ahead.
Here we go. Eric Dickerson, Barry Sanders, Walter Payton, or Emmitt Smith? You want him again?
I mean, that would have been the usual suspects that I would have picked. I knew it wasn't Dickerson. It would have been Emmitt, all-time leading rusher. Barry, number two. And Walter Payton. I'm gonna go with Emmitt.
Nailed it. Well done. I like this. We're coming down to the.
It shouldn't have been that hard.
Here we go.
We're coming down to the last question for the second time in a row. Gabe, you're doing a good job with these questions because we had two matches so far and both of them come down to the last question.
I just want to know what I knew the answer to all of Mike's.
All right, we'll see. Sorry, it doesn't work out that way. Gabe, change the rules next year. You can come in for the steal. We got to add the steal to the next round or next year's tournament. All right, here we go. Who is the only collegiate basketball player in NCAA history to put up a quadruple double?
Ooh.
All right, ain't nobody old because they didn't count it all back then.
I bet you wish you had a lifeline right now.
Yeah, I gotta disapprove of your lifeline strategy right there. It's not like you don't know NFL running backs.
I know, but I just was like, Emmitt accumulated a lot of yards, like that translates to 100-yard games. Barry had a lot of 100-yard games. You know what I mean? It's like
that's fair. It's like you want to get to the last question. If you would have got that last one wrong, it was over.
That's exactly right. Honestly, this is what happens when you say some dumb shit like the White Sox have a skyline in their logo, and now you cost yourself. So now it's like I put myself in a position to be nervous about this. Only collegiate player to have a quadruple double. All right, and so again. Blocks, when they counted blocks back in the day like that. Jeez, college player. Oh, God. And only one time. You know, honestly, I wouldn't have known if you told me it was only happened one time. That's the trip part right there. That only one player has done it.
I mean, you can stall as long as you want. That is not going to have the answer fall out of the sky, Mr. Smith. That brain is so warm from all that beautiful hair, but it don't got this answer in there, unfortunately.
It might.
it might. I'm sorry. It just don't feel like it right now.
I know it doesn't. I don't know why this guy's name comes to mind. Maybe because I know he did it in the NBA. Oh, man. I don't want to lose. I don't want to let die. See, it's like, oh, it's fun. It's for charity. Like, no, it's being Bomani. This is pride.
It is.
Tim Duncan.
It is.
That's a good guess, but it's not the right answer. The correct answer is
Who is it, Bomani? Who is it, Bomani?
I have no idea.
Exactly like he knew.
It's Lester Hudson. Apparently.
Oh, I've never gotten that one. Oh, God. I've never gotten that one.
University of Tennessee. That we got. Oh, University of Tennessee at Martin. My bad. Not even true University of Tennessee. Yeah, I don't know who this guy is.
Well, ever since I can't remember, I've been popping my collar, popping my collar, popping. And ever since I can't remember, I've been working.
Do I get to keep the shirt?
Oh, yeah, you can have it. And you better get my money in my hand.
I don't even wash my own car, but I'll use this to wash the car.
Oh, dog, you be the flyest car washer out there, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
You be the only person washing the car in a t-shirt fly than the ride.
It would have been a little disappointing had we lost the man whose show it is in the first episode. So I appreciate you, Michael.
Well, especially
Smith,
after you told the world happen. That if I lose this, we got to name the tournament after somebody else.
I mean, I'm sorry, but it felt right.
You right. I'm just saying.
I'm glad y'all said that because I can sleep well tonight saying I did my civic duty. Yeah, you know, yeah. the other day in L.A., I picked up dog shit off the ground.
Wow.
I was like, and I'm not telling you this for credit. I'm just saying, like, sometimes you got to do the wrong thing for the right reasons, as that man in Good Time who stole the television once told James Evans. And so I feel like, you know, I took one for the team just now because Bomani
like
needs to stay. You know,
I like that. That is
certainly one way to look at this. But yo, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. The trivia contest will continue. We still have to go the matchup between Joel Anderson and Mina Kimes and what it seems like the round one slugfest, Spencer Hall and Howard Bryant. Everybody playing for $5,000 for a charity. Dominique Fosworth, I appreciate you hosting. Michael Smith, I couldn't have won without you. Thank you guys so much. Yes.
I assume you're the one seed because of your show. So does that mean that...
I have Michael, nothing to do with the seedings. Okay. I have nothing to do with the questions.
No,
there was need for you
properly.
To come insult Michael Smith and call him the 8 seed.
I'm not insulted. I made the tournament. That's all I'm saying.
No. Look, follow The Right Time. Rate us. Review us. Give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. You're going to go out like Michael Smith just did. Talk to you guys in a couple of days. Victory.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.